I'm going to quote something from Jimmy Stewart's character George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. And I don't want you to get upset that I'm already bringing up a Christmas movie and it's not even Halloween yet. Because there's this great line in it that really speaks to today's tricky gospel passage. Now, the gist of the story is that George is in big trouble with some missing money. Not his fault, but it's still missing on his watch. And he's so distraught that God sends his guardian angel, Clarence, down to earth to help George out. Many of you have seen it, right? Well, Clarence is a rather hapless, disheveled angel. And so George is understandably dubious, and he asks, "What happened to your wings?" And Clarence answers, "I haven't won my wings yet. I have to earn them. And you'll help me, will you?" George plays along. "Sure, sure, how?" Clarence says, "By letting me help you." And despondent George snipes, "I know one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks, do you?" Clarence says, "No, we don't use money in heaven." George growls, "Well, it comes in real handy down here, bud." And that's the truth, right? That's how the system works here and how we work the system. Now, doesn't that clear up this complicated gospel about the dishonest manager that we just heard? I'm still working it out, too. But that's okay, because chewing on scripture is what we should be doing. That's a big part of our prayer system. And chewing on scripture brings up three areas of questions, at least. What did it mean then, in Jesus' day? What does it mean for us now, in our current cultural context? And what is the Spirit holding up for me and for you personally in this story in the gospel? So, before we go back to George Bailey, let's start with then. In the ancient world, the manager was in charge of all the master's affairs and money. The master may have lived far away even, and his manager took care of the entire household and property, and getting tenants onto the land and setting and collecting the rent, paid in produce, not cash. That was the system. Some Bible scholars, trying to figure out how to understand how this dishonest manager story could be any kind of example, speculate that in likely practice, this manager would have added a premium to what he was collecting for the master so that he'd be able to line his own pocket. So they contend that when the manager cut the amounts the tenants owed, he must have been eliminating just his own cut, and that's why the master could applaud him for being shrewd and not be angry. Maybe. But we don't know that. We don't know for sure that that's even where Luke's point lies, that we even need to figure out what to us would be a legitimate reason for this master to commend this guy for his sneaky play, even though that's where our attention immediately goes and we're aching to figure that out. Maybe this was just an example of like recognizing like. Gotta give you that one, buddy. Well played. What we do know is that this manager was wise in the ways of the world. He knew the system, and he knew that he had to come up with something pretty slick, pretty quick, or he was going to be out on the street. For as Jesus tells it, the children of this age are shrewd in dealing with their own generation. Decisive action. The master certainly commended that. And Jesus also says, the children of the light, meaning his followers, need to be as wise as that in dealing with the more important things of the true kingdom. Okay, without going over to the dark side, like the manager, but the point is made. Can the children of the light be that decisive and act for the good with that kind of shrewdness and intention? And so, taking the parable into the now, can we use our wits and our talents and our resources and our goodwill and our money, which is the currency of this day-to-day life? with the same shrewdness for living in the reign of God, the eternal kingdom, as we do figuring out worldly machinations. Because we are very entrenched in the world of economics and of material. We know how to work the system, and we put a lot of energy there. We have to. How do we put as much attention to Jesus' call to living into the kingdom of light, to caring for each other? Don't we have to do that too, and even more so? Now, the clearest line in this parable is that we can't serve both God and money. That's a constant theme in the Gospels. Where your treasure lies, there will your heart be also. But we know that we can serve God in the ways we use our money. Now, that's one pretty straightforward interpretation of this parable. But there are so many layers and so many paths you could take in your own thoughts, your own prayer life, in unpacking it, especially because it's a complicated one. And that's the third thing. First, what did Scripture mean in its own cultural context then? Second, what does it mean in our cultural context now? And third, where the rubber hits the road, what does it mean for you in your own life? Where is the Spirit drawing your attention in this parable? That's a riff on the Ignatian prayer practice of Lectio Divina, focusing on how the Spirit is speaking to you through what stands out in the text to you. It could be anything. All these questions arise. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, yes, but you're the preacher today, that's your job. I know. And I still invite you to read this gospel again when you go home and see what strikes you, see where the Spirit is moving. But I will say that I myself am struck by the repetition of faithfulness in this parable, what it means about money and about working the system. And the system means everything we know about how to go through the world. Are we faithful in how we use our wealth and how we use our gifts? Are our intentions the intentions of faithful children of the light, or are we completely mired in being shrewd children of this age? Because the goodwill from the tenants is only going to take that manager so far, right? Our vision is on eternal things. You see, the gospel writer of Luke has a focus. The parable of the dishonest manager that we just read doesn't pop up out of the blue as Jesus is walking along. Luke has it in a string of parables Jesus is telling. It follows the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, where the singular, valuable thing is sought until it's found. And then immediately before today's parable of the dishonest manager, the parable of the prodigal son. Sensing a theme here, right? Jesus is teaching about being faithful to what matters. I love the way one blogger put it, though the prodigal son, whom we know so well, and the dishonest manager we just read about, they end up as beneficiaries of grace, their initial actions are not admirable in both stories. They have lost sight of what really matters, and that plays out as love of money instead of love of what is priceless. So in these parables, money is ill-used, but something important comes to light: faithfulness. See how Jesus continually teaches his disciples and admonishes the Pharisees to put their heart and devotion and wisdom to what really matters. Earthly wealth, we know, is not what really matters, but it is a tool to be used wisely in caring for each other as we go about our real business of being children of the light. Now, I can't deny George Bailey's assessment of the system about money. It does come in real handy down here, bud. Yet for the children of the light, Jesus has upended everything. The systems that are set up to chew people up, our economic systems throughout history and now, they are not to be the way of the kingdom. It's a new system. faithfulness to Jesus is an active call to attention and action in ancient days, in our current context, and in our own personal sense of how we live and how we read this parable. Now, spoiler alert, George gets the money he needs, and he does need money, because he has been so faithful to the people in his community that they in turn are faithful to him, showering him with coinage and love. They take care of each other wisely and with intention. It is reciprocal. Now that's a new economic system that looks a lot more like the children of the light. We've got skills. We've got money. We've got goods. We've got our labor. We've got consciences. We've got tools. We've got voting. We've got our wits. We know enough to use those wisely to further our mundane life. How much more should we use them wisely to further the kingdom? I hear employing that kind of shrewdness as faithfulness. What do you hear in there?